on the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive. It's show number 109 of this thing we call the Blind Handyman. I'm Phil Parr, sitting in for Tom Houston, who is not really not here today. He was here last week. He came and read email, but he's not.
Yeah.
He is not around today, not available, and we don't know where he is, and we're a little worried about him. But that, we'll get to all that in just a little bit. And I'm Phil Parr, and it's good to have you with us this afternoon, or whatever time you happen to be listening. Hoster Don Patterson is with us. Donald?
Hi there, guys.
Are you
nursing that cold and cough I've had hanging around for about 15 or 16 days? I guess at some point it'll go away, or I will. One or the other.
One or the other.
One or the other, huh? Well, Don Shaw is with us. You sound hale and hearty.
I guarantee you for a February day, this is like a spring day right here in Lufkin, Texas.
Yeah, those folks.
I think it's probably knocking 80.
Yeah, close to 80 degrees.
We talked to some folks up north yesterday. The Farron said they walked to get a pizza in the rain.
Yeah.
Or cold, freezing rain.
Cold rain, man.
But in East Texas, in the piney woods of East Texas right now, it is about 78 to 80 degrees.
In February. Isn't that a hell of a thing?
It is. It is. And then I guess
amazing.
In March we'll probably get rain who knows.
Well, yeah, no telling. It'd be cold.
But it's pretty today, and it was yesterday, too. So you didn't get any wiring done, though, Donald?
No, sir. I guess tomorrow's the big day. I've got all the wire, and the plug boxes are already mounted. I did do that. And so I'm just ready to run my... had a little dilemma over wiring a two-way switch. You know, one switch, but I've figured that out. So, and it's really just going to be three breakers. I'll have, 8, 10 plugs, so two or three on one. So I'm just going to have... Three
yeah.
breakers in a little box. The electricity is there at the other garage, so it's not. I'll probably get Alexander Electric or somebody to come and tie the hot.
But you say two-way switch. Are you going to turn on the light from two different places?
Right, going in the walk-through door over there by the overhead door. So
I thought about that circuit. I don't exactly know how.
Well, it's very simple, and I could at some point explain that.
Did someone show it to you?
Yeah, a man at Lowe's actually that worked in their electrical supplies. Had been an electrician, he said, for 30 years. An older fellow, and
we'll
drew me a little diagram.
I'd like to know. How that works. That would be a good thing. Maybe next week you can lay that out for.
I'll do that
for us poor blind people who don't understand. Because I thought about that circuit a lot. How they do that, and we'll discuss that next week. What else is going on? Anything exciting I need to know? I guess not.
Oh, nothing big.
Nothing big. Well, we have a little email today from Don Patterson is going to read our email.
Let's see, I have a dryer question.
Okay.
It says my dryer has the standard manufacturer's slide screen assembly. I have had to put chicken wire over the exit around the dryer flap outside to stop the birds getting inside.
Nesting.
Inside, the opening door flap.
Yeah.
But I also get a lot of lint that will eventually make a... FLETs, I'm not sure what, a film to block out the dryer. And then, of course, the clothes don't get dry.
Yeah.
And, that sort of thing. Let me see. I'm kind of getting lost here. It says, I've gotten into the segmented metal outflow piping and placed a knee-high stocking at the air stream.
Uh-huh.
And saying it said it works good, except he or she has to disassemble the piping all the time to take that out to clean it. And they said what they'd like to know, is there any solutions? How does somebody else keep the film, the lint in the thing, and get the clothes dry without having to disassemble the thing all the time to clean it?
Well, it looks like the stocking would be more trouble than it'd be worth. Looks like it'd be easier just to reach up in every 6 months or so and pull out that lint and get rid of it.
Well, yeah, in your bird flap, that thing out there that you have that over to keep the birds out, that would be the exit. What I would do, I have, in fact, in the new construction out where they built all of our houses, they don't even use metal pipe. They come out with 4-inch PVC piping. In other words, I have a 4-inch hole, an elbow that turns up and points down to the ground. is where my dryer lit. And at Lowe's, believe it or not, you can go buy a 4-inch drain cover that fits like in a shower drain or a drain, and it slips right up in there. And so after maybe every week or so, if I'm just walking past it, I'll just take that loose, clean the vent out, and bingo, there you are.
Yeah, because any lint that came down the pipe would be right there. So I guess when you slip that off, bingo,
because
you just
your filter
fall out, so.
Inside the house should catch a lot of that. You know, that's what you change and clean every time before you dry. You know, this big screen, long jobber that,
yeah,
that you're pushing out. So obviously you're going to get some accumulation in your pipe. But if there was any way that you could do away with some of this mat rather than disassembling your pipe all the time, I would take that flap, that fact out that's outside off, and maybe just have a round hole there and stop eating. Put your stocking out there. You know, if you're not worried about, if you don't want to worried about looks, or get you like a slotted. I'm surprised that the chicken wire doesn't work. So she had it covered, or he or she has it covered with chicken wire. Well, yeah, if you don't change that if you don't have a, take that off, it will accumulate lint. But if you changed it, you know, just clean it once every couple of weeks, it ought to be not a problem.
Well, mine has a flap that when there's air going through the pipe, it pushes the flap up. And then when the air stops, the
right.
flap comes back. How do birds get in? I mean, how would birds get in there?
I don't know, unless I know they. I have seen some dryers that vent up high,
yeah.
You know, out up high. So that could be, I put the plug in mine for snakes. As opposed to I wasn't worried about birds as much as I was a snake. So, anyway, you might, I have seen people on the end of their vent pipe put the stocking or put a bag. You know, you can make like a knit bag or like a burlap.
You could, burlap bag.
Tie it around with a piece of cord or rubber band or something.
A lot of people are concerned about aesthetics, I suppose, so it might be too pleasing to the neighbors.
But you run your dryer with that plug on the end of the pipe.
Yeah, I mean, it's slotted. It's like a drain, so air
comes
out.
Oh, okay, air can come out of it.
Yeah,
okay.
You just keep it, a varmint couldn't, unless he was very small. Couldn't.
And so every once in a while you just take that off.
If I'm out in the yard walking by there, you just pull it out, it just slides up in there, it doesn't thread, it's no threads, it just happened to fit.
Like a good system to me.
And I just pop it loose and just wipe it out and stick it back in there.
Yeah, the stocking looks like to me to be more trouble. It'd catch a lot of lint, and you'd have to change that every time. But if you had one of those flaps that goes like mine does, that opens and closes. Anyway, what else?
There's been a little more discussion on the list about, Don, you were talking about the filter in your dryer itself. There's been some pretty good discussion. Oh, Max might have sent that to the list here recently, or someone that said that... you should take your dryer filter out completely off the dryer and clean the lint off good first by hand, and then take it over to the sink and get some really hot soapy water and wash that filter. And because said the dryer sheets will leave a lot of a film on the filter itself, and you've got to clean that with hot soapy water. And said it'll even help the dryer heat better and.
Would probably
it lasts
go in the dishwasher.
Probably, yeah.
It would probably go
it would,
in the dishwasher.
It probably would,
probably
yeah.
Would
and that would clean it well.
So that you look through it and you think, well, it's all right, but it's really not. It needs to get the lint out of it, and you think that's all you need to do, but it isn't.
They say the dryer sheets will kind of clog up those holes in the screen. So
yeah.
Something I hadn't really thought about. I mean, it makes sense because those dryer sheets are kind of not sticky exactly, but kind of... I don't know what
they
would be the way to...
They have some kind of residue.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, like that.
I looked at mine and I thought, well, I ought to go do that, but I never did, so I don't know. But I guess...
It'd probably be worth trying.
Yeah.
It's really strange. It has some chemical in it because, you know, there's a... Somebody wrote a book even about 1,001 ways to use duct tape or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a whole genre now on those dryers.
There sure is.
You can, for bee, they'll ward off bees, attacking
mosquitoes.
Bees if you
keep mosquitoes away.
Yeah. So,
all kind of things.
Well, I know that if your big garbage can smells bad, you put it out in the sun with a dryer sheet in it, and it won't.
Yeah.
It'll smell fine when it'll smell like, you know, downy soft when you
yeah.
you bring it back in. Which I probably need to do, man. But I as those dryer sheets.
The old dryer sheet.
Garrison Keillor's a big one. He uses sometimes, you know, duct tape. It's all you need sometimes.
yeah.
I wonder if I could tie one of those dryer sheets around the dogs and help
you
their
think so?
help their
yeah, I wonder how that would go.
Doggy odor, huh? Man, we had ours bayed yesterday, and they're so fresh and nice. I wish I could do it you know, once a week.
Yeah.
Emily
yeah.
puts them in the shower. She gets rosy one at a time. She just puts them in there and soaps them down.
I bet that dog has a fit.
They love it. No.
Really?
Yeah, Rosie loves it.
God, that's something.
Yeah,
that's
I guess you could. But they have this doggy stuff that at the vet that they put on that smells good. I mean, it, you know, it's just...
yeah.
Doesn't smell like a dog. It smells. It's just
kind of like car new.
It is. Yeah. It's like car new. Maybe I can get some of that and just spray on Frankie.
Yeah, spray on the dog.
Hey, Frankie, running around.
Dog probably didn't like it much, but
I don't know. You know, Frankie wouldn't go. She wouldn't. We had to pull her into the vet yesterday morning.
Oh yeah, I bet.
And she's 80 pounds worth of. She's hard to move.
She knew where she was at, didn't she?
Oh yeah, but she didn't want to go. She didn't want to go. She ain't going. And it was a. I let Luann fight with her. Charlie and I sat in the truck. It was cold. Hell, I didn't want to get out.
You know. Yeah.
What else you got, Donald?
Well, that's it on the email. Just.
Oh, you just brought one, Charlie?
Just one today. Yeah.
And like I said, I really condensed it, but I think we got the message. I mean, there was several. It was long enough. Mr. Houston's a lot better reader.
Yeah.
We'll have him back in.
Well, and I said last night I'm out of brandy.
Time for a river run.
Out of Jack Daniels. I'm almost
goodness.
Out of beer.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Out of Grand Marnier. It's, you know, I have to get my, I guess, get my wife to take me across.
I wonder if she probably hadn't been in 2 or 3 years.
My wife hadn't been in a long time.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while since she's been. Charlotte, let's talk about this round hole, cutting a round hole for just a minute, since we got a minute.
Well, y'all talk. I'll be right back.
He's got a phone call.
Oh, that's
call
his cell phone. Well, some guys. Go ahead.
Well, you were talking about the round hole thing, but I was going to let Don do that. But I was going to just talk about, you know, we've had this problem about people have asked several times about how to drive a nail straight.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I am a recent entry with the nail guns, with the pneumatic air guns.
Oh, yeah, nothing like them.
And a lot of people think, you know, well, this is really heavy-duty equipment and all that, but actually they come in many sizes, and they talk about wanting to drive, and they also have what they call a no-mar pad, a little rubber tip that slides over the metal. So if you were a finishing carpenter or a cabinet, it shoots a little finishing nail, and also, you know, rather than going out and buying a compressor, say the gun would cost you $100, $100.50, and a compressor, but like Don Shaw happens to have an electric one that's probably total $59, shoots a little 1¼-inch nail, and it will drive them straight every time, you know. So that's just another, people have asked that question, and I don't think we've ever brought that up because people might tend to think they're so expensive or too bulky or too...
No,
they're small and easy to use.
Don's was... I can't remember. He can tell us when he gets back, but it's cheap enough, and it does exactly what you need done. If you're attacking trim on, or anything like that, I mean, it'll just do it all day long, and think and just plug it up and bow.
And that would be for little nails. You know, that's what people have the most trouble with. Because I guarantee you, you can teach yourself if you'll do it several times. If you're driving a big 16-penny nail or something like that, you can learn to hold that hammer and wrist. You're going to hit the same spot every time. I mean, and they're easy. You've got enough room to stand them up without hitting your hands the first time. You know, you can hold it kind of at the bottom. But see, little finishing nails have caused me more finger injuries. And
yeah, you can't hold them and tap them at the same time. All right, let's talk about, we had a guy call one day. He wanted to make a dog stand to put his seeing eye dog's bowls in, and he wanted to cut a round hole. I think it was a 6-inch round hole. So we said, you know, first thing to do is find the center of the hole, put something in the center of the hole, and then run a string or something out and make the circle. Take a nail or a scratch awl or something, tie to that string, and make the circle first. That would be the first thing to do if you're cutting a round hole. And then, you know, drill you a little hole and just follow it around with a little, what I call a saber saw, a little saw with a little short blade on it, hand saw. And everybody on the list seems to think that works. I've never done it, but I'm, you know, in theory it'll work. Shaw, what do you think?
Well, it should work. Someone had a suggestion on there too about buying some marine plywood.
Yeah,
and would you know for the water problem?
Yeah, if you're going to put this thing outside, it needs to be made out of marine plywood, which are what, I don't know what, I can't remember what that wood is that they make signs out of. It would be the same thing. It would be, you know, press board that would be waterproof or water resistant.
Water resistant.
Or yeah. After you get it cut, if you want to do it yourself, you know, yeah, I'll cover it like for mica or something where it won't damage
like
the wood. But I was just talking earlier before we came on with the program about the two pieces of equipment I have that I like the least. And, of course, I have a reciprocating saw, which is capable of cutting that hole. Woo. But I would defy a partially sighted or blind person to keep it straight where you wanted it.
Yeah, that would be the trick,
now,
wouldn't it?
I have seen attachments for... I have a little moto tool that I don't care much about because it's kind of erratic. But I have seen a circle-cutting attachment that actually you put this pin in the center of the hole and has a little metal arm that goes around like a clock, and it keeps you in that circle. In other words, you put your moto tool in it, and it cuts it
out. Boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
But
yes,
if you actually could get your piece of wood up, another idea, if you had like a coffee can or something, or could find another something, you know, like a lawnmower wheel, or something that it would be about the size of the circle you want, and nail it or bolt it there, and then you cut around it with your keyhole saw.
All around it with your keyhole saw? You mean just do it with a little hand saw?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you could do that. I'm a power tool guy, though.
Well,
I love power tools.
But in some cases, I've resorted back to my...
Yeah. Well, you like that, though. You like cutting with a hand saw.
Yeah, that would be... Go ahead.
That would be a tough thing to do for any blind person to cut a circle. But this one guy said he'd cut a lot of speaker cabinets and was pretty proficient at it.
Yeah,
but
I read
that.
They do make a
saw, a circle cutting blade that fits in like drill press or drills, you know, that'll cut a pretty big hole.
Yeah, but not 6 inches.
You don't think so?
Mm.
Then have the little saw teeth. It's like a band saw made in a circle, you know. And
I'd like to see one that would do 6 inches in the drill press. That'd be the way to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what you need to do is practice on an old piece of wood till you get it down, and then go do it on the mahogany.
Right. Yeah. No kidding.
All right. We're going to talk about tree trimming in just a few minutes. Blind people don't do much tree trimming, but blind people have trees, and I'm sure we'll run across some guy who trims trees, but this guy doesn't. He's a sighted fella. He does tree trimming, and he's going to tell you about tree trimming and how to know what to trim and just tree trimming in general. Back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
My name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
love
to a warmer
place. Love is blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, it's we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young person and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and as kids and a you know, good job, but how am I going to do that? And I just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show
demonstrates the fact that it can be done in even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
I think we've got all the switches and buttons in the right places. I'm hoping that everything works out all right. I'm Phil Parr, back with more of our little show called The Blind Handyman. Tim, how are you, sir? Tim? Hello, Tim. Well, where is our guest? We have a guest
somewhere
named Tim the...
Tim Howell.
Tim Howell, who's a tree trimming man. Are you there?
Tree trimming business.
Yeah, I got a nice tree trimming business. Is your mic
somewhere?
He's somewhere. I don't know where it happened. What the deal is? I mean, darn, I'm gonna stop.
Okay.
Right. Stop your watch.
All right.
Well, that was our fault. We had a little technical problem. Actually, it wasn't our fault. It was my fault. It's the guys whose fault it was. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. I'm out on the job site right now as we speak.
You're out at someone's house.
Yes, sir. I'm in Pearland, and I'm taking out a great big dead elm tree.
Uh-huh.
Out of two houses. And power lines and the fence all at the same time.
Now, this tree got hit by lightning, or what happened to it?
No, it got Dutch elm disease.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And actually, there's several more trees right here that I'm looking at that's got the same thing. But yeah. This one just happens to be over two houses.
Now, an elm, what good is that wood? Is that good for fireplace use, or what use is that?
Nobody that I've ever known has ever used any kind of elm for firewood.
It's too soft.
It stinks.
Oh, it does?
I'm sorry?
You say it's too soft, I guess, has too much resin or something?
Yeah, when you stick it in your fireplace, you get a lot of creosote, kind of like if you stick a pine or spruce in your fireplace.
Yeah.
It's really not very good wood at all. I wouldn't suggest anybody ever use it in their fireplace.
So Tim, when you're taking on this one, it's covering two houses. Obviously, you got to send somebody up there at the top and kind of take it down a piece at a time, right? You might want to talk us through how you do. How big is it? And then,
well, I'll tell you what, it's about as wide as tall, and I'm going to say that it's about 100 from anywhere from 90 to 110 foot tall.
Good Lord!
Yes, and it's I'll tell you what, on one side, it's in a lady's backyard. And it's all over her house, and it's all over the neighbor's house, and the neighbor's house is probably 30 feet away. And out on the street, it's got power lines, big old primaries.
Goodness.
Mm.
Yeah. So what we do is we're climbing up in it, and we get a high gin point, which is, you know, the highest point of the tree that's safe. We stick a rope in there, and the climber ties himself on. And then we take another rope and stick it through another tall crotch, and tie it onto a dangerous limb that's out over the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when they cut it, there's a man on the ground that's controlling the rope. Now, he's going to either let it swing and let it drop all the way to the ground, or he's going to hold it suspended. On this particular one, we're going to have to suspend it over. She's got a lot of lattice work that we could not take down or, you know, remove. So, the piece they're going to take out now is probably 40 foot long, and it's got a great big old dead spot in it, and rotten, so we're going to have to take the whole thing out because it's not safe to climb out there. And this particular tree, you can't get a bucket truck into it, so everything's going to be pieced out one by one. Yeah, it's a time-consuming process.
who initiated the tree cutting? Did the lady that owns the tree or the neighbor that complained? I mean, who decided it was dead and time to get down?
The lady that who owns the house,
yeah.
Who owns the tree, she called us. We've actually taken out some trees for her in the past.
Okay.
Okay, but now a guy on the ground will have control of this limb when it is cut. There'll be a guy up on the tree cutting the limb. He'll cut it loose from the trunk of the tree, and the guy on the ground will have a rope tied on, so this limb will just be swinging out there in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll have to let it down easily till someone else can grab it from the ground or something?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what happens.
And keep it from hitting the guy in the tree, right?
And the house or anything. Yeah. The only thing we want this limb to hit is the ground.
You just want it down and gone.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So yeah. this is an all-day project for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've been out here for about 2 hours on this particular job.
Yeah.
And we're going to be out here for probably another four.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll grind the stump and dispose of all the wood. That's something else. When a tree has Dutch elm disease, when you cut it down, you want to dispose of the wood immediately.
Because why?
Because it will spread to your elm trees, and then you'll have a bunch of mad neighbors.
Yeah.
All right, so, Tim, in that regard, too, I guess you've got these big trucks that you feed that tree with these mulching things. Do y'all grind it up or saw it up, and where do you dispose of it?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. We've got a great big old... we've got a bandit chipper. It takes up to 12-inch logs, and we shoot it into the back of an international dump truck.
Yeah.
And then we have a place where we go dump it, and I'm not actually sure because I don't handle that part of it, but we just take it, and we have to pay to have it dumped.
Okay, and so then, in other words, it goes like in a landfill or someplace? And...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
So this Dutch elm disease can be carried on the wind to other people's trees, or how would it get to another person's tree?
Well, what you got to look for is a responsible tree man. You can get there several different ways, but one of the ways that I found out most is if a climber's wearing spikes.
Uh-huh.
If he climbs into a tree with Dutch elm disease, when he gets down, I mean, if it's takedown, he needs to clean his spikes. Now, there's several different, you know, you can use alcohol and peroxide and all sorts of different things. But you don't want to let somebody climb up a dead tree that has Dutch elm disease and then get down and climb up another tree. Because when you spike into it, you know,
he'll transfer that disease. I'll be darned. I never had thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're out on the job right now getting somebody's big old tree down. The only thing about this business of yours is, boy, it'd be hard to work in the wintertime, wouldn't it?
It's very hard to work in the wintertime. And actually, that's the dormant season, late fall and winter.
Yeah.
That is the best time to trim and prune a tree.
Yeah.
It minimizes the risk of any kind of fungus or insect. The problem is, a lot of people don't like to do it in the wintertime because it seems like that's always the time that the holidays pop up.
Yeah.
And that's when people are running low on money. So they always want to wait until, you know, right around the early spring and midsummer. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it since 1988.
Uh-huh.
And I've trimmed at all times of the year. We actually do work all year round.
Sure.
But it is easier in the summer for disease or any kind of insects to transfer from a diseased and stressed tree to another healthy tree. Let's see here.
Well, you know, people think taking down a tree, well, there's nothing to it. You just cut down the tree. And it's an expensive proposition to have done. I mean, it is not a cheap thing. It's not something that you can take a big elm like this down for $200 or $300. This is a $1,000-plus job, I would imagine.
Actually, you're correct. This one is exactly $1,000.
Yeah.
Excuse me, minus the tax. This is a very difficult job. A lot of people don't understand that we can't just wave a magic wand and make it disappear. We've actually got to get up there, and for your safety, our safety, we carry $1 million insurance policy.
Yeah.
But we don't like to use that. If we have to use it, that means we didn't do something right.
You got a problem. Yeah.
Right.
On this tree, you said, I mean, on the touching $1,000, this taking it down. If you were going to trim a tree of this size, or I guess you do it for cosmetics and health wise of the tree, but what would a trim, if the tree was healthy, what would something like that cost if we're not being too invasive.
On this particular tree, if it was a healthy tree and all the buds was out and everything, I'd probably charge $300 to do that plus tax.
Okay.
So this is a very. I wish I could explain to you exactly how big the tree is. It's got a lot of different leads, so it's not just a tree that just goes straight up and down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to climb out and out and out and out. It would actually be easier to trim this tree than it would be to take it down.
Yeah.
The climbing aspect, but not the exact same workload. You understand?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I found out down here in Houston, in Pearland, that most of everything we have, we've got a lot of pecan trees that we've been trimming, and the live oaks, not so many elms, really. A lot of the Arizona ash trees.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that we really get a lot of, those and the live oaks. And those are some beautiful trees. We can really make those look nice.
Yeah.
And that's the same as an elm tree. You know, you're going to have a lot of insects and diseases. And could you all hold on a second? I've got my climber trying to get a hold of me on my line.
We can hold on a second.
I really apologize.
That's fine. No problem. Go talk to the man.
Right back.
We don't want him to get hurt or anything. Guy up in a tree.
Yeah, I have a question for him when he comes back. I'd like to find out how often a tree, I mean, well, give us the reasons why one would trim a tree, yeah, and then how often does it need to be done?
Yeah,
well, and I heard a guy say one time that if you don't do anything, you have some timber on your land, that you lose 15% of that every year if you don't do anything.
Really? All right, I'm back.
Okay, let's just go ahead and start since I brought this up. I heard a guy say one time that if you don't do anything, like if you, my house is built in the woods,
mm-hmm,
and we have about 3 acres probably of just woods and undergrowth. They say that if you don't do anything, you just do nothing by natural, just nature, you'll lose about 15% of your woods per year. Is that true?
At least, if you look at a tree in a residential area that has been trimmed up a couple times, you're going to notice that it's definitely going to have more good looking foliage. I mean, besides the fact that you don't let it grow wild.
Yeah.
But if you go out to the woods, you see all those nasty looking trees and the big cankers on them and just so much dead wood, and they never seem to ever grow.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that brings us to the question, Tim, and maybe give us what reasons would a person trim their tree, and then how often, say, like a, not one that as big as you're taking out, but just a tree, a oak, a live oak, how often would you need to do that?
I like to trim them up about every 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
And on a live oak, you don't have this problem I'm going to bring up. A lot of oak trees get pretty good size.
Right.
And when the wind, you know, it hits the top, and it's got so much stuff in it that it acts like a great big parachute.
Right.
Yeah.
So we like to trim out the crowns of them. And, you know, you can see where if it's sitting next to a house, that would be very, you know, that'd be a very good thing to do, because you wouldn't want the wind to catch it and knock it over on the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sit right on top of the ground, don't they? I mean, some, yes, they just fall over.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, some of these big trees, we went down to Alabama to work the hurricane.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people down there that wished that they would have trimmed their trees a little bit sooner than they did. But obviously, a hurricane, there's not much you can do.
Yeah.
But one reason to trim your tree, if it's got a lot of dead wood in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you take all the dead wood out of your tree, it's going to make it a healthier tree.
Okay.
If it's an oak tree and it has oak borers,
right,
if you catch it early, because it's a 3-year process, but if you catch it early and get rid of that wood, you can 90% of the time save that tree.
Yeah.
Now, if you just let it go into the second year, it's pretty much always going to be done. It's pretty much going to be a lost tree.
Okay.
The best thing to do is preventive maintenance, and that is spraying for any kind of borers, and that goes for pine trees also. But you want to keep the insects out, because once they get in, you can inject them and you can spray them, but they're already in there, and the spray doesn't get into the bark of the tree. So a lot of times you're just going to lose your tree.
Do y'all offer that service too, spraying? I mean, y'all have people that are on just regular maintenance?
We refer We do not. We are not licensed to do that.
You'd have to be an exterminator, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where we just haven't got into it. We probably never will.
Okay.
But we do suggest doing it because it does help.
Okay. Another question I had. I know you have your own company, but how many guys are in a crew, like on this big tree that you consider safe or that you need? How many guys you got working on this tree?
Well, let's see. Actually, there's the two owners of the company. I'm just an employee here.
Okay.
But there's the two owners, and we've got two climbers and two groundmen plus me. So there's six or seven of us.
And
we wouldn't normally have this many people on one tree, but this is it's a big tree.
Yeah, it's in a tight spot, too.
Yeah. What is that I keep hearing?
Train.
Is that a train whistle I hear in the background?
Yes, sir.
You're close to a railroad track, close to some railroad tracks.
Oh, I'll tell you what, this tree couldn't be in a worse spot. We got trains on one side, houses on both other sides. You name it, it's around us.
That's what
How
makes
close
it...
to Makawa Road are you?
Makawa Road, I want to say about 3 miles.
Okay. They have a lot of the train track over there, are they?
Yeah.
Well, we're right off of 518 and 35,
okay.
Right there at the intersection.
Yeah. Of course, we have up here, we have a lot of pine trees in East Texas, and we have the southern pine beetle, or what do they call it,
that kills. That's exactly what it is.
And
exactly what it is.
We get that, and we have a little baseball field next door. We just lost a huge, beautiful tree, must have been 4 foot around.
Mm-hmm.
And beetles got in it, and the guy said, you've let it go too long, the only thing to do is take it down. So.
Yeah, that was, if you've got any other pine trees around there at all.
Yeah.
You need to call somebody, and maybe when we get done, I can give you a couple names. I don't want to say anybody's names over the air besides ours. You know how that is.
Yeah.
But we could definitely refer you to somebody.
Yeah.
But when you cut down one pine, or when they get done killing one, they will spread to the next pine, and they will kill them. Back from where I'm from, we have the exact same bugs. I'm from Missouri. And it's basically an epidemic up there. If you lose one pine, you're going to lose 100.
Yeah, well, it is up here, too. We've had, tremendous problems. And
mm-hmm.
Of course, this area is built on pine lumber. I mean, that's what they do up here is make pine wood, make plywood.
Temple Inland.
Temple Inland. That's, that's the big industry up here. Well, I don't envy your job. I'd rather have my job sitting here having a beer having a beer here in my nice cool studio. I'll take that if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see.
The last team talks to put up for the day.
Well, now you're in Houston, Texas,
mm-hmm.
So you can give us do you want to give us a phone number to call
sure.
Somebody wanted it there, because we run on Houston taping for the blind down there, and there may be some people down there that may need your service. So why don't you give us a phone number and all that, how to get a hold of you?
Okay. Well, my name is Tim Howell, and I work for Graham Street Service. And you can give me a call at 281-682-9639.
All right.
And we've also got an office phone of 281.
All right.
997-8331. We do trimmings, prunings, takedowns. We grind stumps. I like to say this: there is no tree that is too big, and there is no tree that is too small. If you've got it and you want us to come out and look at it, it's a free estimate. Can't believe anybody ever charges, but just come out and look. It's free, and nobody's obligated. Like I said earlier, we carry a big insurance policy, and we carry that at all times.
Let me see that phone,
sir. And I really appreciate you letting me come on this show.
We appreciate you. Now, did you tell us that you're some kin to Dale Campbell? Is that true?
He is my brother-in-law's brother.
Your brother? Well, that's close enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's your brother-in-law's brother.
I don't know exactly what you call us, but
if I were you, Tim, that's as close as I'd want to get to him.
I think that's close enough to close enough to Dale.
Now we trimmed a really nice Arizona ash for him that they were really really happy with.
Yeah.
And anyway. That was one of the first jobs that I had actually done down here, and they were just really happy with it.
Yeah.
And I wish that was one tree that I wish we'd have taken a before and after picture of. And I am going to plug him real quick, though. Was it blindmice.com?
Blindmicemark.com.
You guys got to get on there to blindmice.com.
All right, so we're going to let you go and hear your chainsaw running in the background there. And y'all have a good day, okay? We'll be back in just a minute with more of the blind whatever show this is.
Lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love
to a
is blind.
Place, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs. So we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, I want a nice house and kids and a good job. But how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
This last portion of this little show called The Blind Handyman. And while we were on our break, the studio filled up with people. Pardon me? I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Could you move just a second? I stepped on your... Oh, we just have a crowd here, which we didn't have before we took the break. And to keep everybody from talking over each other, we're going to take everybody in alphabetical order. But what we're doing, we want to wish our friend Tom Houston a great 60th birthday. I remember when he was 50, we did Tradio. We had all these kin folks call in. And this time we have all his new friends here, quite a group of folks. And we'll start with, I guess, with the person who possibly is responsible for his heart flutter. I guess we'll start with Susie. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Here's a poem. Birthday wishes for you are sent in a sock. Cause black lace thy hus might be a heartless shock. Those great birthday entrees are sure to be yummy, and this witless wild brain wish signs you birthday peachy plummy. Happy birthday, man.
Yay!
All right.
All right. Pete, I didn't know what the hell she was going to rhyme with yummy. It had to be tummy. Peachy plummy would be. Do what?
It worked.
It worked. It was fine. All right. That's Susie Barnes from Knoxville, Tennessee. Next, I guess, would be Dale Campbell.
Mr. Tom, I'm sorry to hear you're incapacitated, but happy birthday to you, the big 6-0. And, you know, wine, women, and song, they'll make you either get sick or they'll make you well. So we just want to tell you have a happy birthday. And that's it from Dale.
Have a happy birthday. We may, if we, we may have to have Susie write the poem, type the poem, and send it to him as an email. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think that would be. You could do that, couldn't you? All right, Susie Barnes. If you get his email address, I'll send you that. Susie Barnes, Dale Campbell, who would be next? F, G, E.
Oh, Boop.
You think Boop next? Okay.
Okay. Well, Tom.
You're up.
What?
You're up.
Okay, Tom, I want to wish you a happy birthday all over you and to tell you that there's no way that you look 70. There's no way.
So
hearts are fluttering again.
Someone's supposed to be my straight man here. Nobody's my straight man.
We're supposed to say.
I bet you're back.
You're stepping on my toes.
We're supposed to say he isn't 70.
You're supposed to say he's only turning 60.
Oh, he's only turning 60.
Oh well, then never mind.
Don't worry. Okay.
You can edit that out, Phil.
You should have.
Tom, you understand how it's hard to get good help. So hope you're feeling better and. Happy birthday all over you.
You should have. What does that mean? Happy birthday all over you.
Good work.
I like
good.
It. You should have given us instructions on what to do. As to what to
with
do.
With this crowd, I really didn't think I needed a straight man. You know, I figured someone would step up for the job.
I guess not. All right. I don't know. Who's next? Who's Stone Man?
Myself or Mr. Cummings? Is it Mr. Cummings next week?
Mr. Cummings would be.
All right. Tom, Cheryl and I would like to wish you a very happy birthday. And I just have to say that you and I have something in common, sir. Your birthday is this Wednesday. My birthday is this Wednesday. You're going to be 18 years older than me. So if in 18 years I'm as smart as you are now, then I think I'll be doing pretty good.
All right.
So very happy birthday, and I hope you get better real soon.
And
hosting the Blind Handyman.
Your birthday is tomorrow?
I'm doing an okay job, but, you know.
And your birthday is tomorrow, Tim?
My birthday is Wednesday, same day as Tom.
Well, that's amazing. Are you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Tim Cummings. Happy birthday to you. You could have told us that before we started this. Yeah, you could have.
Who's next, Dan?
What about Cheryl? Cheryl, are you there?
Oh, I am, but I gave Tim permission to speak for both of us.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, what if we're going to do Blind Like Me this weekend? You're going to speak then, right?
I think I will.
Okay. Good. That's Cheryl Cummings, Tim's wife. Who would be next? I have no idea where we are.
I would think Dan.
You think Dan?
I think it's David Fett.
Daniel?
The Mountain Man.
All right.
Dana, David, and then Lee.
Okay.
I'll jump in. Hey, Tom. Dan Rossi here. Happy birthday. And you really got to get better and get out of there because Phil's running amok in the studio, and
that's it.
You really got to rein him back in.
That's right.
But hope you get better quick, and hope you have a happy birthday, and we'll catch you when you're back online.
All right, Dan Rossi, who would be next?
David.
David Farron?
Dave. I guess I'm up.
I guess you're up.
Hey, Thomas, sorry to hear you're not feeling well, but I hope you're going to be better real soon. I certainly look forward to shaking your hand again one day if everything works out and travel arrangements. So you got to get healthy enough to be able to do that. So from Patty and I, we both wish you
happy birthday,
Tom.
Very good.
All right.
All right. Who's left?
Mr. Shaw.
Hey, Tom. Lee Stone here.
Lee Stone is
Tom, you
ought
might
to
wanna,
be up.
Tom, you might want to put the tape on pause and void. Okay, we're back on again.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you. That's a cheap Marilyn Monroe shot, Tom. Anyway, best wishes for your birthday. And if you really need some stimulation, we've got a good deal, which we can donate. Is I think they're called vibrators, toners, massagers for rubbing on your carotid arteries and across your chest. And we'll make your day better. It's only going to cost Phil two AA batteries. He could stimulate you a little bit. Have a good 60th, Tom. And we'll see you on your 65th with a bigger operation.
You're bad. All right. On my foot.
Who did we miss? Dodd Shaw. I want to say a word or two, don't you, sir?
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Tom. It's the big 60th birthday from the Handyman Birthday Committee here. Man, that's a hell of a deal for the big 60, isn't it? Well, hurry up and get well and come back and read us that email. We'll catch up with you later, Tom.
Yeah, I'm tired of running the board. I like to do the show, but I don't like to have to run the board while I do the show.
Right.
Yeah, you're stuck with a bunch of illiterate guys, you know. You're the only one in the bunch that can read.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out of whiskey, I'm out of brandy, I'm out of Grand Marnier, and I'm out of beer. You need to get well, because we need to go across the river.
Make a river run, huh?
Yeah.
Make a river run.
I'm out of everything. It's terrible.
A liver run or a liver run?
A liver run. Who did we miss anybody? I guess not.
I think we got everybody.
I think we did.
I wish we'd get that damn thing away from me. He's making me nervous.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Quit crowding.
Watch out, Boop. He just touched me.
Don't look at me.
He picked the wrong crowd to say that to, Boop.
Right. Happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday, Tom. Let's shall we all together? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. There must be an echo.
If that doesn't get the dogs howling.
Boy, if it doesn't, that would be
it. Glad my neighbor lives across the street, because his dog would be howling like crazy.
Right.
I'm wondering which one of you handyman are going to build Tom's birthday cake, and what are you going to build it out of?
Oh, that job's for Bob. Bob from PA, right?
Yeah, Bob the baker.
Bob the baker.
I want to do just a quick reprieve here. We had a gentleman come in late who wanted to wish Tom a happy birthday, and the reason he's late is because Kentucky's about 45 minutes behind the rest of the nation.
Actually, Kentucky's 20 years behind the nation. That's why we stay here, because we want to be here when the world ends.
We had we had a contest for slogans that were rejected for state of Texas, and one of them was, "At least we're not Kentucky."
Okay.
I'm sorry. Max is here with us.
Yeah.
And you want to say hi to Tom, our friend Tom?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. You're recording.
Okay. Well, Tom, hi there, and I hope you get out of that expensive hotel pretty soon. That's no fun place to be.
It is an expensive hotel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, do you have an excuse for being late or not?
It's a story of my life. Day late and a dollar short.
Day late and a dollar short. Well, we're glad you joined us. We chided Max Robinson for being late, and he wasn't nearly as late as this fellow. Henry Caston has seen fit to come and join us. Henry, how are you, sir?
Hi, and Tom, it's glad to hear that you're up and around and getting out of the hospital real quick, I hope.
Well, the first thing you ask is Tom with us. I don't think that was nice. Do you?
Well, the way you were talking, Phil, I thought he was on his last legs or something.
No.
Apparently, it was just a Valentine's deal, and his heart was broken.
No, he's wanting a beer and a corned beef sandwich tonight. I don't know about the rest of you, but Anyway, glad you came, and you want to sing Happy Birthday sort of by yourself to Tom? I guess not.
No.
All right, Henry Caston, ladies and gentlemen, so good to have you with us. Well, that's the way it was for the Tom Houston birthday. Let me turn in celebration. Last night, Patterson, I'm sorry you missed it.
Yes, sir. Somehow I was indisposed.
Wish you could have been here. You were home nursing the flu, I guess.
Yeah.
Doing that wiring. Anyway, happy birthday, Houston. 60 years old. It's not bad. You'll learn to love it. We did, didn't we? You know, once
at least two of us did.
No comment there, was there?
What are the other choices? The big dirt nap, I suppose.
No more choices.
Anyway, we appreciate you all listening to the Blind Hater. Man, we'll get things back in order here one of these days. Houston will be back, and things will be back to normal, and he'll know how to do everything, and we'll get it all set up. But we appreciate you bearing with us during our time of need.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don Shaw.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you. We'll fix your headphones for next week.
Yeah, next week.
Don Patterson?
Yeah, better his headphones than mine.
Go home and nurse your cold. And
yes.
We'll talk to you later. I'm Phil Parris. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.